Okay, and it is Monday evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight we have Kelly Lynn, who has a couple of really lovely visions for the future. One is a website called SevenRaysRanch.com, and we'll talk about that quite extensively during this interview, as well as the journey home, which is really about our own journey and how to assist us. So welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
And, you know, typically how we start each session is by talking about our own journey and how you got here. So I'd like you to sort of talk about, you know, what got you onto the path that you're on right now. You're doing a lot of great things. What was it that sort of began that journey for you?
Well, I walked my own journey. I've always wanted, ever since I was a child, to help people. I wanted to be a social worker or a counselor or a therapist. I really care about people's journeys. I care about people finding their joy and who they really are. I think so many people are feeling wounded from the difficulties and the struggles of life and really don't have had the chance yet to connect with their what's unique and beautiful and powerful and special about themselves. And that's my goal and my mission, to help people feel empowered, to help people know what they're here on this earth to do and how to do that.
But what started it for you? What was it that sort of brought you to this place, that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I guess really it was my own journey. I came from quite a challenging childhood and had to do my own seeking and trying to understand why things were they were, what there was to learn from it, what there was to do to heal from it. And when I did my own journeying, I traveled around the world. I was learning with different shamans and different religions and different faiths and had different experiences that I was always wondering, what was the purpose of the struggle? Why was I in so much pain? Why was it so difficult? Why is this world seem so violent and so cruel, and yet underneath all that chaos of the world, you know, I could still see the love. And I was wondering why people couldn't feel the love and why there was so much disconnect. And so first I had to get my own connect. I had to do my own healing journey. And after I did my healing, I kind of did my spiritual quest. You know, once you do the healing, then the question's like, well, who am I and why am I here and what is the purpose of my life and what am I here to do? The kind of those questions. And so I went in on a spiritual quest, trying to find my own answers to those questions. And in finding my own answers, I just found that I could help other people, not only myself, but I could help other people with what I was taught by my guides, by my soul, by different shamans, by my own trial and error, if you will, find answers and find ways to find your own answers. And that's just what I wanted to share. Mm-hmm. I feel like so many people have so much to offer, and there's some people just need a little help getting connected to that.
Mm-hmm. Now you have a website called the Journey Home School, which is the journey home to allow for our own ascension. And you offer.
I'm sorry, Lori. I can barely hear you.
Oh, you can. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Just a little bit better.
How about now?
Perfect.
Okay. On your website, you have the Journey Home School of Ascension, and you have a 3-month online course. What is that like, and what do people get from that course?
Well, there's 7 levels of ascension, and we are all on our journey. Anybody that's listening to your show is certainly on their spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all children of God. We're all in the human race, and we're all part of the whole collective, and we are all with the same goal in life, if you will, and that is to remember who we are and to come home to the God within us, to be the God self that we truly are. And the seven levels of ascension are basically, you know, they've been written about in all the different sacred texts in one form or another. And it's just a matter of mastering the physical body, mastering the emotional self, mastering the mind. And it's about self-mastery. It's about healing the past, finding and harvesting the gifts from and the lessons and the opportunities and the strength from the past, making peace with the present, and awakening your full potential and your awakening your gifts and your destiny, and how to manifest that.
And how do we manifest that? How do we wake up? What is, you know, a lot of us are still in that process, and I know that as time is speeding up very rapidly, we're kind of being forced and pushed into this process and this journey home. And a lot of people ask, you know, how do we start? How do we get into understanding, you know, who we are, and how do we start building the gifts that we have? And so how do you answer that when people...
Well, the first thing that is so is the most powerful thing, is your intention.
Mm.
And if you really want to know who you are, ask God, ask whomever your creator is. Put your intention out to the universe, to the creator. And we are always heard, and we are always answered. And it is up to us to ask. So if you really want to begin your journey, if you want to know who you are, if you want to heal your past, if you want to find your gifts, if you want to find what's unique and special about yourself, if you want to feel empowered instead of powerless, the best place to start with everything is to place your intention out into the universe, to say, you know, I want to know who I am. I choose to know who I am. Show me who I am. Show me my purpose for my being here. Everything is about communicating. Everything, all of life is a relationship with God, with your creator, whether you're Muslim or Jewish or Hindu or Catholic or non-religious or just spiritual. We all have a creator. We all have a divine being of love that created us, that birthed us, that we come from, and that we are. And it's about communicating with that being, that creator, because this world is really difficult, and everybody here is living in duality under the veil of illusion. Everybody's working out their lessons, if you will. And when we're on our journey, we need to know that there's someone or something greater than ourselves that we can trust unconditionally, that we know loves us and is looking out for our highest good, and wants only for us to be joyful and blessed and fulfilled. And that my course is about, the first and foremost is laying a foundation for the healing journey and for the spiritual awakening journey and for the self-empowerment and for the manifesting of all your gifts in this life. First, we lay the foundation. And the foundation is making a connection with your soul, your inner teacher, your creator. Getting that line of communication open, getting your intuition open, so you can start hearing and feeling and sensing the guidance that is coming to you, so you can start feeling and sensing and becoming aware of the help that's all around you and everywhere, so you can start hearing and feeling the opportunities opening up around you. So communicating and connecting, making that connection is the foundation, is the first step. And we do that by our intention.
Right. So it's kind of like, when we're ready to ask for the assistance, it starts manifesting in our lives. It's all the synchronicities start to happen when we're ready and we can actually get to the point where we can ask.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because we do live in this world of duality where we have free will, it is a universal law. You know, we tend to think, well, you know, my angels know what I need, or God should know what I see what I need, or God knows that I want this. Well, there's this thing called free will. And our free will is a mandate, a universal law, that unless we ask, the angels, our guides, cannot just say, oh, you know, I really see that Susie would really, really benefit from this, so I'm going to just put this in Susie's life.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't infringe upon our free will. That's why it's so important for us to work with universal laws, if you will, and ask and put your intention and then be open to receiving. So we do need to ask and give permission to our guides, to our angels, to our soul, to our Creator, to give to us or to bring to us and to assist us.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned God, and I know there's a lot of people that, you know, due to the dogma of their religions and the restrictions and certainly the control and manipulation that some of the organized religions hold, a lot of people have had a lot of difficulty with the term God. And, of course, God's not someone necessarily that's outside of you, although there is certainly a connection with everyone that is outside of you, as we're all part of the One. But, you know, truly the connection that we need to make is the one that's within us, that is part of our own individual, unique expression of who we are.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, I grew up Catholic. I grew up, where it was a very dark use of Catholic or a very dark usage of God and Jesus. And, you know, I, like many, was brought up to fear God and to think of him as a judging, cruel being, you know, and that I was born broken and, you know, I had to repent and, you know, and, you know, I decided that my feeling, my intuition, my gut self, before I knew about soul and before I knew about all that I know now, just told me that that wasn't right, that didn't match, that didn't make sense, and that wasn't the God that I thought that I kind of knew somewhere, so deep within myself. And, you know, I lived in Egypt for a while, and I became Muslim. I lived in India for a while and learned Hinduism and lived and worked with a lot of shamans, Native American tribes, and you know, was blessed to learn a lot of their ways. And what I just did was I picked what rang true for me from each and every thing that I experienced and learned. I picked some from the Hinduism belief, from the Native American talking with the trees and the sky and honoring and ceremony and honoring the earth. And I just picked what resonated true to be right for me. And I created my own belief system, and I created my own relationship with my own Creator. It's a very personal and very intimate relationship, and it has nothing to do with any of the isms. It has nothing to do with any dogmas or formal religions or anything. I have my own personal friendship. And it took a lot of healing, and it took a lot of work, because I had a lot of issues with God. You know, I was really mad at God. I'm like, well, where were you when I needed you? You know, where were you when I asked to get off this planet so many times? Where were you when all these people were being hurt? Where were you? You know, how could you let these things go on with the animals and the children and the planet? And, you know, and so me and my God, we had to sit down and have some talk. And, you know, and I had to yell at him, you know. I had to yell at him a lot, and I had to let a lot of anger out. I had had a lot of questions that, you know, I didn't want to hear any answers. I was just mad. So, you know, me and God, but you know what I found out? He never left me. He never abandoned me. He never punished me for yelling at him. He never left my side when I was mad at him. You know, I even fired him.
Good for you.
I said, that's it, you're out of here. Somebody else has got to take over your job. You failed me. But it's honest. And that's one of the things that I do with the Journey Home course, is that we all have, you know, our society, American society, we weren't brought up spiritual. We weren't brought up to have relationships with God and go within and find our inner teacher and find our voice and to find who we are. We're taught the opposite. In our society, we're taught to look outside of ourselves, and it's power, money, fame, position, you know, looks, everything else, but who you really are. And so we've got a lot of undoing to do.
Definitely.
You know, and the same thing with our spiritual, you know, our religions. And, you know, that you find that across the board, whether you're brought up Catholic or Baptist or Protestant or Muslim. I mean, there's a lot of things to undo because mm-hmm. man has kind of infiltrated the true teachings,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we have to find our own way. And really, God wants us to have an intimate friendship, a partnership, and get to know for ourselves who God is for us and to us and within us.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk a lot about healing. Without necessarily going into your own healing journey, how does one go about, you know, healing themselves? Because, you know, I think one of the areas that we probably least recognize within ourselves is our anger towards God, is our feeling abandonment. We have our own unique issues that most of us bring with us that we're here to heal so that we can all move forward on this, you know, really incredible time. It's all about our own journey and our own connection from within and our own ascension, you know, that we're all, you know, moving towards a mass ascension. But there is a lot of people that need to heal. And there's a lot of people that, you know, a lot of people have taught us how to do the spiritual bypass, which is to not heal at all, but to be detached. And in some ways, that can assist us through some very painful times in our life. But in other ways, it doesn't assist us to grow.
I call that the metaphysical myth. I lived in Sedona for 7 years, and in the spiritual in the metaphysical community, mm-hmm. New Age community,
mm-hmm.
You're not enlightened or you're not very spiritually advanced if you're having anger or feelings or sadness or grief or if you're not abundant or
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of there's isms within the New Age. I call it the metaphysical myth that, you know, you're not
myth or myth. What did you say?
MYTH.
Okay, myth. Yeah.
And it's a myth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and you said it. You know, it's really about we have to heal.
Yeah.
We have to heal. We can't skip over the healing and go into the high vibrations and the levels of ascension and divine consciousness and walk. I mean, because it's like, you know, the weakest link
mm-hmm.
or the lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's left unhealed is going to continue to manifest situations and dynamics in your life.
Yeah.
We cannot think over, we cannot do mantras over, we cannot undo a wound by doing mantras. We cannot undo a wound or a belief system
yeah.
unless we can go into it and understand it and see what gift it has for us. We do not experience anything for the sake of suffering. We experience dynamics to learn, to grow, and to move us closer to our greatest potential. So we can't overlook any of these crops in the field, if you will. We need to harvest them. We need to know why we went through experiences. We need to understand what the experience was to give us or to teach us and to accept those blessings from them. So we can't just, in the metaphysical community, you know, one might say, well, you know, if I do a manifesting board and I do visualizations and I do my mantras and I do my prayers and I do my yoga and, yes, that absolutely all helps 100%. But it doesn't, we cannot bypass the unhealed heart.
Right.
And we need to, again, with our intention, ask God for healing. Ask if you're not comfortable with God. My sister couldn't say God for years, but she felt very comfortable asking the angels for healing.
Mm-hmm.
So what works for you? You know, ask your angels for healing, and you'll all of a sudden see a book appear, like you were talking earlier, Laurie, about the synchronicities. You know, once you ask and give permission to the universe to help you, the synchronicities happen, the doors open, you know, a book, a workshop, a teacher, a counselor, or a healer, you know, all these opportunities. God brings to you all those ways to help you heal and to help you understand and help you take back your power and become empowered in your own life.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I was just breathing in that. Yeah. And so what about intuition? How do we connect with our intuitive gifts to allow them to be strengthened?
One of the things that I have in the course is, it's so invaluable in my life and in my friends' lives and clients, is creating your sacred space. We need a place, man or woman, you know, young or old, it doesn't matter. You know, even I like working with, you know, younger kids, but creating a sacred space in your own home, whether it's your bedroom, an extra bedroom, a spare room, a part of a room, but we need to have a place that's just for us. It's not meant to have, like, if you're blessed enough to have, like, an extra bedroom that you can convert into, like, your sacred space, that'd be fantastic. If you don't, you can get, like, a room partition for half of your bedroom or half of the den or a place out in nature that is your favorite place. But we need a place where we can go and be in silence and feel safe and feel loved and feel protected and feel where we can just be. And in that place is where we begin our prayers and talking and connecting. And prayers is really just talking to God, and meditation is really listening to God. Mm-hmm. And so we need that sacred place where we feel safe, where nobody can come in, nobody can interrupt you, where you don't feel like you need to get up in 5 minutes to go cook a meal or answer a phone, but where you can just unplug and disconnect from the outside world and sit in a safe and sacred place to be and connect, begin connecting with your inner world, your inner space, the place where your soul resides, where your heart can be open, where you can listen to the voice of your soul and your wisdom speaking to you and guiding you.
Mm-hmm. And when one starts doing that, what sort of things start opening up for them?
I'm sorry, Lori. I'm sorry. I can barely hear you, honey.
Okay. When people start doing that, what sort of things open up for them with regards to their intuition or building and developing that?
We're all so intuitive. Mm-hmm. We all have the ability to really connect with, you know, the angelic realm, with the higher levels of consciousness, with the divine heart, with the divine mind. We all are connected, like you said. You know, we're all just one big soul family. You know, we're all children of God. And so we all have this amazing ability just to connect and to hear and to feel and to sense. But everybody does a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Some that really begin seeing things, like seeing angels or seeing auras, seeing colors, seeing things from the future. Some people hear things. Some people can hear the angels speaking or hear their soul speaking to them. Some can hear animals speaking to them, or the earth, or the fairies, or the nature kingdom. Some people can really just are really empathic, and they feel things. They can pick up other people's feelings and the energies or moods in a room, or the energy of something that they pick up. You can just feel and sense and know things just without knowing how that you know it. And so there's a lot of different ways that it's like. One of my favorite things that I like to do, I like to go in my sacred space. I like to sit, light my candles. I like to just sit in silence or put on a CD that just chants Om for me. And I just like to close my eyes, take some deep breaths, and then I just listen. And I listen not only with my ears, but I like listen with my body. I like listen with my heart. I listen with my gut instinct. I just like to listen. I like to, like, become like radar and tap into and strengthen those muscles of listening to the divine heart and the divine mind and listening for guidance and listening and trying to feel and sense and into my soul and feel my angels and my guides around me and imagine them being with them and me and imagine them talking with me and working with me. And so it's a muscle that you need to work with. It's a gift and a tool that is has been unused for so long. Just like when we go to the gym for the first time, mm-hmm. and we kind of need to strengthen up those muscles. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe we've been sitting on the couch a little too long. And it's like going to the gym. It's like going to a spiritual gym. So we need to, we kind of practice. It's not, it's something that keeps growing and developing and becoming sweeter and more beautiful. The more we do it, the more we use it. And because this world is beautiful, but the other worlds, the other dimensions, and the other places of consciousness are far, far more beautiful and more serene and more peace-filled and more incredible. And so it's like going on a vacation without leaving your home. Mm. And so there's a lot of different ways people can experience it, and some people are already very intuitive or clairvoyant or clairaudient. And so it's just a matter of creating the time, creating the space, and sitting down and listening and becoming a part and aware of your connectedness, of this divine connection that we all are a part of.
Right. And I would imagine, due to the lovely duality of this planet, also giving that space without judgment. Because I think, you know, when we first start doing meditation, it's very difficult to quieten the mind. And, you know, there are so many different ways to meditate, and it's really about finding your own unique method that, you know, that really resonates most with your heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, in yoga opens up your chakras, and it opens up your third eye, and, you know, eating vegetarian or more raw food and drinking a lot more water, getting rid of the dead processed chemicalized foods will raise your vibration. Doing mantras in your mind, you know, when you're washing your dishes or standing in the post office line or driving to work, and you start doing mantras or affirmations in your mind, or start visualizing God and or, you know, the angels and talking with them. There's so many ways to raise your vibration, and it's all about your light quotient. Ascension is about your light quotient, about how much you are becoming your light body, raising your vibration, raising your consciousness, and becoming the being of light that you truly are. And so everything's about vibration. So everything that you can do that will raise your vibration will help you more rapidly and quickly make that connection, develop your intuition, develop your extrasensories. You know, one of the simple things that you can do is stop reading the newspaper, turn off the television, put things in your, like, go on a spiritual diet, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Take the junk food out of your awareness. Take the junk, you know, the TV, the news, the newspaper, people that may gossip, you know, stressful environments, shopping malls, music. You know, it's about being aware of what you're feeding your mind, feeding your heart, feeding your body, feeding your thoughts and your soul. And so it's being selective and making choices about what will raise my vibration, what will make me feel more peaceful, what will make me feel more calm, what will take me into my heart center, and being aware of, well, what makes me feel more nervous, or what makes me feel more uptight, or what makes me feel shut down when I hear it, see it, or feel it, or do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, personally, I haven't watched a TV in about 6 years, and I refuse to look at a paper, and I refuse to listen to the news, because I think it's very fear-based. So I totally connect with what you're saying about going on a spiritual diet. I like that. But just being more conscious and aware of, you know, what we are putting in our minds, because that is certainly what's affecting our reality in the now moment. And just becoming much more conscious of our own, not only what's going on in our mind, but in all of our, you know, our emotional body and our physical body, and, you know, everything that we're eating, and we're all the things that we, you know, this is the temple. This is our temple that is going to ascend with us in a third dimensional planet. I mean, it's not about leaving this body. It's not about going up somewhere. It's about fully embodying and embracing everything now and being fully present now. It's not something out there or up there, or, you know, it's here. It's inside.
Absolutely. And the beautiful part is that we are already that. We're already that we are thinking that we need to work toward, or we need to achieve, or we need to learn how. It's not about that. It's, we've already achieved it. We already are. We are just, like, the analogy that I like to give is like a light bulb. So imagine a beautiful 100 watt light bulb that's just pure and radiant, just shining its full brilliant light. And then imagine like a storm came and a layer of mud came and covered up the light. You could still see the light, but there's a layer of mud. It's not as clear or as bright. And then another dust storm came and covered it with another film, another layer, and another layer, and another layer, and another layer. The light is still shining. The lifetimes that we have, the accumulation of lifetimes that we have, and the struggles and the challenges and the hurts and the wounds and the pains and the misinformation and the misunderstandings and the misperceptions about who we are those films and those layers of mud over your light bulb. That light bulb is your soul. It's pure, it's radiant, it's 100%, 100 watt, brilliant, radiant, pure. That will never go away. It's within you, it's within your belly, it's within in the core of your being, and that's who you are. And these life experiences are like these layers, films of dirt or dust or mud, that layer after layer after layer, pretty soon the light doesn't look that bright. And after a few more, you know, painful situations or misunderstandings or lifetimes, that pretty soon there's so many layers covering that light bulb, you don't even feel any light at all. You feel like you're this maybe dirty or broken or tired or, you know, unlit nothing, like not even connected, like you don't even have a light, you don't even have anything special about you, you don't have any sense that you're connected. But the truth is that with underneath all those layers is that light. Within your being is that pure light. It's unbroken. It cannot be marred, broken, taken away from you. That is who you are. And what we do in our life journey is we begin to peel back those layers. We begin to wash away those films of dust and dirt. And we do that by the healing journey. We do that by forgiving ourselves, forgiving others. We do that by making peace with our past. We do that by learning and growing and taking risks and dares to become our greatest self. We do that by receiving help and guidance and support. And so as we do these things, as we eat, do our spiritual diet and get rid of the negativity and start investing in ourselves and creating the sacred space for ourselves so that we can heal and grow and be nurtured and we can nurture ourselves and become whole again, those layers and layers and layers get washed off and you start seeing light. And then you start seeing more light. And then you start feeling the warmth of this light. And then you start feeling the connectedness and the excitement and the beauty of this light. And the more we peel back the layers that have covered it for so long, the more radiant our light can shine. And so that's, you know, what you were talking about. This, you know, we don't leave these bodies behind. We bring our bodies into its full light. We become our light bodies. We become our light self. And we become that 100-watt light bulb. And you don't need to try to be that. We're just remembering. We're returning. We're returning to our divine perfection.
Beautiful. Well, let's talk now about your other passion, which is Seven Rays Ranch. Why don't you tell everybody what that's about?
There are seven of us, and we are creating, it's a school for children. Our indigo children, children in need, the children that are mislabeled ADD, ADHD, it's our gift, it's the children that, our children are so aware and so awakened and so fine-tuned and so, such old souls. And this world, you know, is teaching our children about sex and drugs and video games and TV and really, you know, our educational system, it isn't working for our children. You know, they're not being taught how to be creative and how to be inspired and how to be unique and how to find their voice. And they're not learning about who they are and exploring different aspects of themselves. You know, our children go into school and they sit down at a desk and for about 8 hours a day they're taught, they have to memorize.
They're taught how to be controlled and follow.
Exactly. Yes. You're put into a box, and very soon this box becomes a cell and a prison. And the imagination and the individuality and the creativity and the the fire in the children gets put out for. And so then these children, you know, start feeling lost. They start feeling disconnected. They don't feel, you know, confident about who they are. They don't know who they are. They're disconnected from themselves. You know, they are doing mind-numbing, emotion-numbing things like, you know, endless video games and text messaging and computers, and everything is outside themselves, you know, because they're not able to be who they are. There's that pain or that sadness or that loneliness that they feel, but they don't understand why they feel that. And so they kind of try to numb it out by, you know, danger or sex or, you know, things that aren't healthy for them.
All the things that we did.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
We weren't.
Now we know, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And so we want to get to these children, you know, these kids, and give them a home. We want to give them a place where they get to discover who they are. We're building a ranch with rescued horses who are going to be our equine therapists. We're going to have a huge garden where we're going to grow all of our own organic vegetables and have live organic whole foods for their meals that they get to grow, and they get to learn and be educated about working with the earth and growing and the maths and the sciences and the biologies and everything by experiential, hands-on.
Yes.
Two of our board members have over 45 years each in the educational, in education. They've been principals and administrators, and they've created curriculums for schools all over the world. They were invited over to Sri Lanka after the tsunami devastated their educational system, mm-hmm. and the Sri Lankan government decided that they wanted to rebuild their educational system in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
That they wanted to create an education built with the foundation that teaches the children who they are, helps them develop character, self-esteem, and a connection with God, and then teaches them the sciences and the arts.
Wouldn't that have been nice for us to go to school?
Isn't that incredible?
Mm-hmm.
And that's our goal. And Charlene and Henry were invited over to Sri Lanka to create the programs and the curriculums and to teach the teachers how to offer these programs for their children. And so Charlene and Henry are creating our curriculum and our programs for our children. Again, we want to teach the children who they are, what their potential is, what life is really meant to be. It's about our spiritual pursuit. It's about becoming who we really are, about becoming one with one another, about sharing and cooperation and creativity and, you know, helping each child find their voice in this world and their unique thread of the tapestry that we're all a part of. And we really just want to empower these future leaders. They're the ones that are, their imagination, their creativity, their uniqueness, their brilliance is going to create the green technology of our future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to create the peaceful governmental systems of our future, you know. So we need these brilliant souls, these old souls in young bodies. We need to help them develop who they are.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful vision, and you're also a nonprofit organization.
Yes, we are, and we are, you know, we're desperately fundraising. we're desperately fundraising, we have moved. My husband and I lived in Sedona, and we relocated here to Ruidoso, New Mexico, because this is where we felt guided to come, and this is where we saw the vision in the manifest form, and we have our eye on this beautiful piece of property, that's 160 acres, completely surrounded by national forest, mm-hmm. with horseback riding trails and hiking trails, and it's in a sacred canyon. And there's this gypsum crystal sand desert, if you will. It's a national monument just a few miles away from our property. And it just holds, it's just an incredible vibration. And so I know this is a very, very sacred canyon, and I know some really wonderful, magical things can happen there. So we're really asking for people to, you know, if they feel guided, to go to our website, take a look, and if you feel guided to be a part of it in any way, you know, we really welcome you.
What are you looking for?
I've had people call me from Nova Scotia, Canada, a young lady who's a teacher who saw our website, and she said she saw this vision ever since she was a child, and she knew she was meant to be a part of it. So she said as soon as we're done building the ranch to give her a call, she wants to be a teacher.
Nice.
And I've got a couple people from Denmark calling me and asking me if we were built yet, and they want to know because they want to come to our school, and you know, so this isn't just my project, this is everybody's.
Mm-hmm. And what are you needing? Like, what are you needing with regards to people and money?
Well, right now we're in the process of raising the funds to purchase this land. Mm-hmm. And we have a few friends that are contractors and developers, and we're going to build everything green.
Nice.
So zero footprint, so we leave zero footprint but live really in harmony. But we're really looking for $1.8 million right now to this land is amazing. It's so perfect. It's already ready for us. It already has a horse arena. It already has irrigated fields for the gardens, organic gardens. Mm-hmm. It already has the house and the office buildings. And we'll just need to build a few school buildings and a couple dormitories on it, and we'll be good to go. So it was kind of amazing how we were led to that piece of land, but it's got our name on it, and so that's what we're looking for.
And you have a lovely movie on your on the website, which is Seven Rays Ranch, that has lovely pictures of children and horses and an idea of what the what it will look like, the land, and it's a lovely vision to, if you want to. Understand, I guess, where you're coming from to watch that little movie, because it certainly shows, you know, where your heart is.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, my husband created that music. My husband has been a sound and music and healer, intuitive, for over 30 years, and he was part of a band called Hope in the early 70s, and they went all over the world and help people connect with whomever their God was and help empower them and make that connection. And so he's always been like in a healing ministry all of his life. And he has a recording studio called Hope Universal Recording Studio.
Nice.
And he channels music, and he just kind of walks into the essence, if you will, and just he hears music. You know, like if you and I were to meet each other being intuitive people, you know, we might pick up some information, or we might see something or hear something. When my husband meets people, he's a music intuitive, and he hears people's soul song. He hears music coming from people.
Wow.
And he discovered that was their soul singing. And so one of the things that he does is he channels what he hears. So he does a session where he brings, you know, if he can't come, he can do it by remote, by talking to you on the telephone, and then he'll go into the studio, do a ceremony, and then he'll connect back with your soul again. And then he sits in around seven keyboards and around 7,000 different sounds and crystal balls and Native American drums and flutes, and he just channels what he hears your soul singing, and he burns it onto a CD for you, so that you can take it home, or it can be mailed to you, and so it's about you connecting with your soul. It's your soul song carries the vibration and the essence and the blueprint of your soul, and of your destiny, and of your purpose, and of your gifts, and it's a very powerful thing. So that was one of the other. That's one of the other facets of our ranch for the kids is, you know, to connect them with their soul and connect them with their purpose and their true identity, and empower them to realize that in this life.
Right, and I would think that music is definitely one of those ways that we can make a deep connection. I think there are a lot of people that use music in that way to assist us to connect in with our own selves, and I see that music therapy would be something that you would be offering. What are some of the other things that you want to include in your school?
Well, we want to teach, you know, what I'm doing for adults right now is the program that we're creating and integrating into the program for the children. You know, first we've got to undo We need to help the children physically detox.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get them off the sugars and the dead foods and the sodas and the, you know, and the caffeines. And so we want to bring the children into mind, body, wellness, and wholeness and connectivity. So we want to help them physically get in shape. We want to help them connect with nature, feel the rhythm, teach them how to connect and feel the rhythm of the earth, the heartbeat of the earth, and feel the oneness with nature. We want to help them with, like, pure activities. We're going to be taking them on horseback adventures, mountain climbing adventures, so that they learn how to really connect and trust other children, you know, their peers, their friends, how to really create leadership within them on these different adventures, outdoor adventures that we're going to be taking them on. One of the other things that we are doing is creating a multimedia studio.
Mm-hmm.
We want to create a webcast and a radio broadcast for the children, by the children, of the children, that these children will really be in charge of to connect worldwide with the children all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that instead of, like, you know, MySpace or Facebook, you know, or all these other places,
mm-hmm.
this will be kind of like a spiritual network for children. Other children who are like the indigo children and the crystal children, and, you know, where they can go and they can talk about what's in their heart and what they know to be true, without and feel that connection and feel that support and be with other like-minded, like-spirited, you know, kids. So it's going to be a network, radio network. And we also intend to do that with our curriculum as well. We want to make it available to children around the world, maybe homeschooled children
mm.
who live in rural areas or different countries who maybe don't have access to any kind of real education or spiritual development. We want to be able to webcast out our programs and our classes.
Nice.
We're going to put them on both DVD and on webcast so that children around the world can connect. Helping them create one voice.
Hmm.
And there's a really neat organization that's, their goal is, they're a nonprofit organization, and their goal is to give away 2 billion computers to children, or laptops, to children around the world.
Wow.
And so we want to put our programs, connect with them, and work in alliance with them, and put our education on these computers so that these children have the technology, they have the connectivity, and we become one world.
Hmm.
And we can teach each other about our beliefs and our cultures and our religions and our understandings and find solutions as a global community.
That's an incredible vision. It's a beautiful, beautiful vision to hold. You certainly don't want to let that one go. It's definitely where your passion is and where you are headed, for sure. I certainly see it all coming together.
Thank you.
It's quite lovely.
Thank you. I was really blessed. When I was living in India, I felt guided to go to this. I'm getting goosebumps. I felt I was being led to go to this, visit this orphanage, and it was an orphanage out in the middle of nowhere in India. It was created by a lady from London who felt guided to come to India and create this school. And it was for the Indian children, the orphans. And in India, if you are an orphan, you either become a child prostitute or get kidnapped into the slave labor, or it's just not a good future for the children that are orphans. It's a different society there, and so she's taken in these children, and she taught them the same type of program, where spirituality is foremost, you know, self-esteem, connectivity, finding out who you are, connecting to the oneness, and really developing that first as their foundation, you know, who they are. You know, as children of God. And again, no religion, all religions. Really, no, it's not, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about, you know, spirit,
hmm.
about truth, about love. For me, I belong to the religion of love. And so, you know, she's teaching these children, giving them a spiritual foundation to develop their character and their morals and their values and their self-awareness and their self-identity and to find the confidence and the strength and the guidance and the compass, if you will, to guide their lives to become the best that they can be. And when she took me into each of these classrooms, they, you know, were like ours. They had, you know, the kindergarten, the first, the second, the fifth, and all the different levels of education. And I would walk into the room, and without a blink of an eye, all the children in the room, no matter what age group they were, stood up in perfect namaste and smiled at me and looked at me and held my eye contact and just beamed. And they were just radiant. And you could tell that they were just, it was amazing. And these children held perfect namaste because they felt honor and respect for an adult, because they felt happy, because they felt what namaste means. You know, the God within me sees and honors the God within you. And that's what the translation of namaste is, and them standing with their hands folded in namaste. That's exactly the essence of what they were, you know, standing and saying with their hearts and with their eyes. And, you know, I was able to ask them questions. And these children, I learned, were the top in the nation, or the country of India, in their test scores, in their grade levels, in their in competitions that they did for science or for math. And I'd ask these children what they wanted to be, and nurses and doctors and astronauts and artists. And I mean, it was amazing. And I just walked out in tears. The lady, I think her name is Barbara, if I remember correctly, and she looked at me and she said, and I said, we just don't have this in our country. I said, you know, we have the group homes and the foster homes and the receiving homes and the shelters, and, you know, our children who are from these broken homes, they don't have this. And she said, our children don't even know that they are the unlucky ones.
Wow.
And so that experience for me just changed my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it is I'm bringing to our children here.
So what would you recommend for, since there's a little bit of a time before that your school is going to come into effect, and what do you recommend to all the parents out there that, you know, are struggling with these labels that these kids are getting, and, you know, maybe not quite understanding just how unique and incredible the children are that are right now? What would you offer them to help them understand and to help them be a guide for their own children?
What a wonderful question.
Yeah.
How powerful. Well, first of all, know that you're not alone. Second of all, there is hope. You know, we have, thankfully, you know, we are moving into a time when people are awakening so rapidly and the truth is being known and shown. The internet is a great resource. I mean, if your child, you know, there are so many resources. I would really look into resources, you know, by Doreen Virtue and by Neil Donald Walsh, and Lee Carroll, and there's just so many fantastic authors out there writing books about indigo children and crystal children. And indigo children, what that means is, when you look usually it's right now, there's a whole race of children being born that started, I believe, like 1978. And these children are old souls. And these old souls have come to bring this world to peace and into love. They are our future teachers in a way that we've never known before. And these children are very intuitive. They have great understanding, great depth, and great wisdom, but they are in young bodies. So oftentimes we don't see their intuitiveness, their knowingness, and their wisdom. And these children are very sensitive. They're very sensitive to vibration. And they really want to be and need to be in the vibration of harmony, of peace, of love, of respect, of honor, of spirituality. They really need that vibration. They need that environment. They need to be fed. Their souls need to be fed and nourished, soul food. And so really, you know, disconnect your kids from the TV, the violence, the telephone, the internet, the gaming, the, you know, and start getting them interested in connecting with nature, their bodies, you know, healing their bodies. Get them off the junk food. Get them off the Starbucks. Get them off the sugar and the soda pop and the dead food. And, you know, these things are having a, are causing their moods to be irritable, their energies to plummet and to surge. Just the food and the sugar and the caffeine, the TV, the violence, the media, the computers, the, even the energy emitting off computers and all these technology, the things that they're using, they're emitting energies that are just so discordant to their vibration, to their auric field, to their harmony, their balance, their chakras. So first of all, no, you're not alone. There's so many resources. Go online. Just plug in the word Indigo Children, and you'll find all kinds of incredible resources. Use your intuition. You know, find some books. Do some studying. There's a great book by Doreen Virtue called The Care and Feeding of the Indigo Child. There's so many of them out there now because they are. This is such a reality. You know, they're not. It's not that they're tuned out to school. It's that school isn't teaching them what they know to be true. You know, it's not that they're disconnected or tuned out. It's that they have to in order to survive, because they are so sensitive. They're not apathetic. They're trying to protect themselves. They're not indifferent or angry. They're trying to protect themselves. They're trying to cover and shut down that all their intuitiveness, all their empathicness, all their awarenesses, so that they can kind of function. So we want to create that sacred space for our kids. We want to bring them healthy, wholesome, living life food that will bring their energies, their mind, the emotional body, the mental body, and the physical body back into balance, back into harmony, back onto an evil energetic keel, so that they can focus, so that they can sleep at night, so that they can feel more relaxed without this constant surge and crash of energy from all that junk. But really know that you're not alone, and really try to find ways to help your children connect with their selves. Maybe teach them, get them interested in yoga classes or meditation groups or prayer groups or being in community service, because that's what who they really are, being of service and helping others, finding win-win situations, helping others in need. That's their heart and soul and their nature for being here. So if we can encourage that and awaken that and help them remember that and connect with that, with who they really are, those would be the steps I would do.
And I would also say that, you know, lead by example. So if you're going to encourage your children to do all of these things, that you want it also to do the same types of things, so that you're not...
Exactly.
In duality.
Exactly. And, you know, if you're taking a meditation group or, you know, doing something with voice or art or, you know, bike riding or hiking, you know, bring your kids along. You know, don't be afraid that they won't like it, or at first maybe they'll resist or think it's dorky or whatever, but really trust, you know, that what is healthy for you and what brings you peace is healthy for them and will bring them peace.
Well, it's been quite an honor talking with you this evening, Kelly. Is there anything else? Why don't you tell people how they can get a hold of you, and if there's anything else that you would like to tell people about either your journey homeschool or the Seven Rays Ranch?
Well, the way to get a hold of me is I'll be happy to give you my phone. It's 575-336-7486. I am offering the Journey Home course. It is a life-changing course. And you can see more about that. You can see the curriculum. You can see all that I offer and all the ways that I help you and walk with you on this sacred journey. You can go to thejourneyhomeschool.com. And I'd be more than honored to talk with you or to answer any questions and help you any way that I can. And also, our Seven Rays Ranch is the number 7, www.7RaysRanch.com. And if you type in 7, that will also work too. And you can see more about the children. And please know that you're not alone. And there's so many resources. And just say yes. You know, just say yes and let God lead you, let your soul lead you, let your inner wisdom guide you and help you, and just say yes and let yourself receive. Let yourself receive guidance and nurturance and support and help. You're not alone.
Great. I think it's incredibly ironic that we're on this tiny little planet with 7 billion people and we all think we're alone.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it with that. But really, thank you for joining me this evening. And
Thank you, Laura. It's been wonderful. I really appreciate it.
Really. Yes. Me too. All right.
All right. Blessings.
Blessings.